Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we got a big show planned for you guys today. We get into the Mach-E, the new Mustang pure plug-in SUV.
All electric, yeah.
Very interesting. Matt knows all about it, and we get into all the official particulars of it. Also, our friend John Morton had a very bad crash at Daytona in the Z car. Mm-hmm. So we'll cover that as well. First8sleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads. There's thousands, but only one uses the technology of temperature to give you the deepest sleep possible. The Pod by 8 Sleep. First bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Research shows a link between sleep performance and temperature. The Pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. Stays cool if you're hot, warms up if you're too cool. It learns, it adjusts. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have a 17% increase in deep sleep. And right now, you can get $150 off your Pod and free shipping with 8sleep.com/car. That's 8. That's number 8, E-I-G-H-T, 8sleep.com/car, and get $150 off. Got to get on. I chose to get on. Man, to get on. Welcome to CarCast. Man, Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there. Lots of stuff to talk about. We got the Ford Mach-E all-electric Mustang SUV, which I'm very interested in. You saw the unveiling. You actually drove in it. You did 0 to 60 and some slalom and all that. So that's a very interesting car to me because I do want a plug-in electric, and so far it's been some weird algorithm of unsatisfying. Like, you know, you want a nice SUV, you want plug-in, and I've been getting these combos of like, well, the gas engine kicks in when you go below 5 miles an hour, and the combined mileage is 27 miles per gallon. It's like, somehow the mileage hasn't been that impressive. And some like my family, what I always thought were my uncle and aunt, but they're my cousins, Vince and Pat Bruno, like they lived in Santa Monica. My family. The only people my family knew, like the only family we had were the Brunos. They lived in an apartment in Santa Monica, so they were renters, like in their 60s and 70s and whatever, you know, 50s, 60s. And between the two, they owned one car. Okay. So imagine the finances of being, imagine being 57, married, renting an apartment, and your wife doesn't have a car, and you don't have a car, you just have a car.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you figure it out. Well, they had a diesel Rabbit.
Okay.
Circa 1978, that diesel Rabbit got like 50 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
Now, it's a hunk of shit, but it got 50 miles to the gallon. So it's like, when you hear about the gas hybrid technology combined doing 26 in the city and 23 on the highway, and it's like, what about Vince and Pat's diesel Rabbit from 40 years ago? Like, I get it. You got airbags and crumple zones and leather and stuff. But still, it's all, so far, some sort of combination that's not very satisfying to me. I want to plug the thing in. I want to never go to the gas station again. And I want over 200 miles range.
Yeah. Well, you can do that with the Mach-E. And I had a conversation last night with Dan Edmonds from Edmonds.com, and he's their test engineer. So we got into this big conversation about sort of the real ins and outs of electric vehicles and all that stuff. And the Mach-E we touched on quite a bit earlier this week, but the new information is this. There's, give you a little recap. There's a base model, which will be two-wheel drive, single motor in the back, and the base battery.
Rear-wheel drive.
Yeah, rear-wheel drive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the base battery, and the range will be about 230 miles, right? And that starts at about $43,000. There's a tax incentive of $7,500, but some people qualify, some people don't, and you got to qualify, you know, whatever. So, so it starts at about 43 grand. You can get the base model with the standard single motor and the standard battery. You can get it an all-wheel drive version, and you get an extended battery version. And you can get up to 300 miles. And then you can get a GT, which is more power. And you can get, I believe, a GT all-wheel drive. And the way they do the rear-wheel drive versus the all-wheel drive, what I just found out is there's a large motor in the back powering the rear wheels. And on the base model all-wheel drive, it has a small motor in the front. But on the GT performance pack, it takes that large motor from the back, puts it on the front, so it physically has two larger motors. And the performance is significantly increased.
You know, we were talking about this off the air, and I don't feel like I need that much performance out of my electric vehicle because it's electric, because it's instant torque, and because the real deal is the kind of 0 to 60 or the sort of passing gear kind of thing versus top speed. And once you get to 0 to 60 and you're sub 6 seconds, you're good in the family truckster. You know, I'm not.
And it does that easily. The base model is 0 to 60 in 5.5. And the GT is like 3.5, GT performance pack.
Yeah, and that's all well.
5.5 is quick.
It's all well and good, but I see the guys going around in the BMW and the Mercedes, like XM5 and stuff like that. And it's like, you got a truck. It costs 110 grand. Yeah. It gets 9 miles to the gallon. It's no good off-road. It's got a massive engine in it. And I get it, like it looks cool, but we're just on the 134 and we're stuck in traffic and we're not going anywhere. Like,
yeah,
you got a good looking piece, but I don't know what you're doing with it other than getting bad mileage and having people think you're rich.
Right, right, right.
Or know you're rich. Like, I don't know. Those vehicles seem like a big waste to me, but it's just like I just get bad mileage and I spend 100 grand on an SUV or 110 grand. And there's a Mercedes version and BMW. Yeah, I get it. They're trick pieces.
Yeah, they're cool and they're fun. And when you get it on an open road,
I know. But I don't think these guys ever do. But my point is this: okay, yeah. I'm just an asshole. But what I'm saying is I don't need all wheel drive as long as it's rear wheel. It can't be front wheel.
Right.
You can give me rear wheel drive. You can give me the extended range package. I don't need the extra power. I need the extra range. And I don't even want the extra weight of the front wheel drive or all wheel drive. And I don't want the extra weight of the power either. I'd rather try to get the weight down, get the extended range, do the rear wheel drive, and then all the other money will go into the accoutrements, you know, the interior stuff and all that.
And for the Mustang Mach-E, you should be able to, when we don't have the breakdown of all the configurations, but you should be able to get a rear wheel drive extended range battery version, and you don't need the GT or anything if you don't want it.
What's extended going to get you to?
300 miles.
See, that's a game changer, and that would be all I need. Now, I guess the question would be, if I got one of those things and I parked it next to my wife's Tesla X and we opened all the doors and you sort of crawled around it, what would your takeaway be?
So the Mach-E is about the size of a Porsche Macan.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly. I want to say maybe that's a little bit smaller than a Model X. I don't know how much smaller.
It's not a third row, is it?
I don't think the
Max
Pat.
What's the wheel? Oh, 117 on the Mustang.
Yeah. Oh, I will tell you. Yeah. Well, he'll look that one up. I will tell you this. You're going to get more stuff in the Mustang Mach-E, because I'm pretty sure the Tesla Model X seats in the back don't fold down for some odd reason.
Mm.
You can fit a bike in a Model S, but not in a Model X. And the Mustang does fit three people in the back seat. You know, not super comfortably, but it could fit, you know, it's five passenger.
The Mach-E is 186 overall, which I'm going to guess is at least 14, 15 inches probably shorter than the Tesla overall length, which you can find out, Max Pata. But either way, what do we think of the interior?
The interior is pretty much on par with what you're seeing in the Mustangs and the Ford-branded stuff. If you get into a nicely equipped like Ford Edge ST or Explorer, you're going to feel like this is similar. It's going to have the same switchware. It's going to have the leather interior and the soft touch stuff on the dash. The dash itself, I'm not a huge fan of. It has the big screen like a Tesla, which is fine. But in front of you, it has a rectangular digital screen. It doesn't have like a gauge pod. And being a Mustang branded vehicle, I was kind of hoping for like something a little sportier in front of you and a little less, you know, futuristic movie, RoboCop, Demolition Man kind of.
You know, it was weird. My whole life, I would look at guys on the construction site, and there were Ford guys and there were Chevy guys. And of course, because I work with their dumb carpenter guys, it was like they were super brand loyal, you know. Like, I was like, I was driving a Datsun, you know, or an Isuzu Trooper.
So you're still loyal to the Datsun.
Well, my feeling was, is this thing gets twice the mileage. It'll haul anything.
Yeah.
It's bulletproof. But I would sit, I'd jump in Tom Johnson's 250 or 350 dually, you know, and we'd drive to Simi Valley or whatever. And it struck me that the Ford interiors were a lot nicer than the GM stuff, or especially like Pontiac and stuff like that. They were just nicer. They seemed better, and they always seemed better. And I there were parts of me that liked the exterior of some of the GM stuff, but not the interior.
Yeah.
And Ford is of the American cars. Now, if someone had an 88 Jetta that had a better interior than almost anything Ford had.
Right.
But it still struck me that the Ford interiors were just generally better than the other American counterparts.
Yeah, and for a long time, there was something like, especially in their trucks, like the shape of the steering wheel between the Ford and the GM vehicles, where the GM ones always kind of bugged me. But for the most part, I would agree.
The Mustang SUV is a foot 0.3, so 12.3 inches shorter than the Tesla. So it's shorter.
Yeah. Now, with the GT or the GT Performance Pack, by the way, you can get it with the MagnaRide suspension, which we love that. It's fantastic.
So Tesla's going to have to make a move. Because basically what we're saying is that the X is $100,000 and the range is, I don't know, 240, 270. I mean, you could bump it up to 300 or 320 or something like that.
Options.
But the point is for half the price now, we're talking about another pure electric vehicle.
Yeah, sort of all things being equal, like the various versions of an X.
Yeah.
The base Mach-E is $43,000. The GT is $60,000. And you can get a performance pack and a few options. But, you know, this is going to range probably somewhere between $43,000 and $70,000 total.
Remember the Tesla Roadster that was going to go over 200 miles an hour?
Yeah.
It's, what's it been, 2 years?
Yeah, I don't
know. Not heard anything,
I don't
not
know
seen.
They got deposits on it, though.
Any footage on YouTube of a Tesla Roadster going through the speed traps at the Texas whatever Silver Run?
Texas Mile.
202 miles an hour? Anything? Anybody?
Haven't seen it yet.
Haven't seen it. You want to know why? Doesn't exist. Well, listen, I know everything. I don't, by knowing nothing, when they were like, this Roadster, 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And it goes over 200 miles. No, it doesn't.
Nope.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And by the way, if it did, God bless you, but where is it?
Yeah.
You were at, let's see, you were at Bugatti.
Yeah.
And so, you saw the 300-mile-an-hour Chiron.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the Supersport 300 Plus. This is the one where they brought it out to a Volkswagen's test track and did 300, I don't have it right, I think 307 or 304. They went over 300 miles an hour.
Is it a
304.7.
Is Volkswagen's test track like an oval with a bank on it?
I think it is.
It's got to have a bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to sell this car. It's going to be $3.9 million roughly with the exchange. But when you buy this car, it will be electronically limited to 273 miles an hour.
Oh, how am I going to get to Vegas?
I don't know how you're going to get there.
Well, yeah. Also, but, yeah.
This is what it takes to go 300 miles an hour. It takes, the engine on this thing is...
And by the way, you know how I always tell people, save money, just go to Tire Rack, get the Kumos, don't worry about not on this car.
Not on this car. No, I'm sure it has like a $900 battery that says VW on it and it fits out of it's the same one that's in a Jetta.
But these tires, these are special tires.
It's an 8-liter W16 quad turbo that makes 1,578 horsepower.
Wow, it's almost 1,600 horsepower. Yeah, it's a big bank. It's a VW test track. And it was funny. I had I don't know why, but somebody sent me a video of a 917-30. I think sometimes it's a 917-10 or it's a 917-30. The Donahue, like Mark Donahue, Porsche Can-Am, you know, with the 1,500 horsepower, whatever it was, like crazy mobile. And they took it to Talladega to set the speed record at Talladega. And it was previously held like in a NASCAR by like Cale Yarborough or some guy, you know, one of those guys in like a NASCAR. But they brought this thing out to see... They needed a giant oval with serious banking. And so here's this 917 on a Talladega looking way out of place. And I think it's Donahue driving the thing around at, 227 miles an hour or whatever they're trying to break in, 1974. that was some crazy ass shit, right?
Yeah, actually, it was. And that reminds me, I don't know where Chris went, but Chris, see if you can find this. I think the vintage race at Daytona is going on now, and I'm pretty sure John Morton rolled Randy Jaffe's BRE Z car, and they airlifted him out, and the car is messed up. John Morton, luckily, is fine, and I'm not sure of the result of the car. At the very least, Chris, you're going to find Randy Jaffe's Instagram is going to have a photo of like a couple photos of the crash. Someone actually took a photo of the crash like happening, not video, but he's got a photo. But I saw it posted. I was like, "What? Why did this happen? What happened?" And then he posted another picture of
that's AJ Foyt
of John Morton like in a golf cart, like leaving the hospital, still in his racing gear, going, "He seems to be okay. He's going to go home." But That's a scary event. By the way, John Morton, nice guy, great driver, not a young man.
No, I had a slightly like foreboding discussion with John at Fontana a couple of weeks back when we went there for Jay Leno to race in a Z, and he was racing the Z, and he was racing. He's a Z specialist. Now he's raced everything all the time, so he's a guy who could be fast on any car at any time. But the Z is a specialist, and that Z that he has is, I don't want to call it a tribute or recreation, but the actual BRE Z was destroyed, but this has all the parts from that car.
Yeah, it's like tribute plus.
On another shell, and he's rolling. If you go back a picture, we're looking at him at night, like up in the air, rolling over a car that's going the other direction. I don't know what happened.
I think somebody spun around and they hit like nose to nose, but that car that he's, and I don't know what that is, sort of Can-Am-ish, like it's very low.
The Z went airborne and and rolled over what it looks like a Jetta, mm-hmm. or one of those smaller fiberglass bodied cars, and so Morton, who I was talking to, and now is completely rolled over. Morton, who I was speaking to at Fontana,
yeah,
I said, you know, how's it going? He's a super nice, low key guy, and he's like, yeah, I'm it's good. And I go, well, when are you driving next or whatever? And he goes, I'm going to Daytona. Driving the Z.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, then, yeah, you sound a little disappointed about it or something. And he's like, you know, that car's worth a lot of money. Like he said, yeah. It's probably time to stop driving that car. Like,
yeah.
He gave up, he made this sort of foreboding.
Yeah.
That's an expensive car, or it's an interesting car because it's not the car, but it's got all the parts on it, so it's kind of next in line as the BRE 240Z.
And it is pretty special in its own right, and what Randy's been doing with it.
Been bringing it out and campaigning it, having it be seen, and having John drive it again, and it's sort of becoming that car, you know what I mean? And John just sort of matter-of-factly said, I don't know, that car's expensive. Like, it's time to put that car in the museum, basically.
Which is interesting, because it's not his car, and he's... That's his observation of it. Going, you know, I think it's a pretty special car, and it should be put, you know, start to become a display car.
I wonder how badly the car was damaged.
I don't know, and I only bring this up because the owner Randy had posted the information online, so I felt like it was sort of there's something weird about, like, I'm weird about car crashes, vintage racing crashes. I don't like to post anything unless like the driver, the owner.
Yeah.
Said it, you know? I feel like it's private until somebody else gets to say, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of, for me, it just feels like there's an etiquette thing to it.
Feels a little intrusive.
Yeah.
Or a little macabre or something.
But glad to hear John's doing okay.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any pictures of that car when it was done, like in the pit or anything like that.
I didn't see any.
Castrol Edge. Well, the good news is it's not the actual unibody from the actual car.
Yeah.
So you can replace the unibody and put all the same old parts on it, and you don't have to worry about it.
Randy will rebuild it. He's, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm. Why not? Yeah. All right. Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times, fool! Stronger, leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine. My 935 is over at the LA Auto Show. And with gas and Galpin.
It's right? In the is it concourse hall? It's in the middle one between north and south. And Galpin does their whole thing in there, the Galpin Autosport stuff and their Premier collection, and they've got their Aston Martins, and he's got his RWB Porsche, And the Mazda car, the Mazda racing car.
What's the RWP Porsche?
RWB?
B, sorry.
Yeah, it's the crazy wide body, his purple one that you might have seen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, keep going.
So your car is there on display because Bo Bachman from Galpin is soon opening a Porsche dealer.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if it's Galpin Porsche or he's calling it something else, but he wanted to do something special there. And then the Mazda race car, the sort of the Dayglo orange and the green, it is not the actual Le Mans car, but it is one of the legit racing cars that's there. So that's a cool piece to see as well. So go see the 935. The show runs, I don't know, until December 1st, Sunday, December 1st, like 10 days
yeah.
or something.
Go out, take the kids, and stay away from the goddamn shift knob.
Yeah.
I better not fucking lose a shift knob in that thing.
I don't know if it's going to be roped off or how they're doing it, but they were building the display while I was there yesterday and filming their TV show and running around.
Screw that shift knob. I need that shift knob.
Yep. That's the RWB car. Chris just put up a picture. We'll post that up at carcastshow.com. And they always do a nice display in there. What was always interesting though is it gives it a weird tone because they do black carpet.
Right.
Black carpet in that place and it just absorbs all the light.
It's interesting.
It's not a bright room.
Happy if someone takes a picture of my car and posts it.
Yeah.
Hey, Max Pata, show me a picture of a Jetta.
Okay.
If I'm like a race car, and I think you will see the car that's a little car. It's wedge shaped, mm-hmm. and it sent John Morton airborne.
Yeah,
I hope the guy in the Jetta was okay.
Yeah, but that one, you know, it's not an open car, so and it looked like he sort of ran over the top of him. I'm sure both of them were scared out of their mind, but. I guess the photos are just way more dramatic than what actually happened. But we know Randy takes very good care of his cars and his the safety features of that thing that he built in the cage and all that stuff is probably way above spec. So
yeah,
but you're right. I don't know about the Jetta, but pretty crazy photo.
I just want to make sure it is a Jetta. I don't know if it's a Jetta. Just find a picture of a Jetta, Max Pata. That's I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think it's a Jetta. Yeah, you got to find a profile. We're looking at the profile. Can't be the convertible. That's that one. Yeah.
That green one. That looks pretty close.
Yeah.
That's got to be it.
I think that's the car. You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Good luck, Mr. Mustang, picking out a Jetta. Not in this lifetime.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me tell you guys about Geico real quick. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning, maybe pick up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
So let's see. We got the SUV.
I'm driving a Lincoln Aviator.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Grand Touring. The Grand Touring is the plug-in hybrid version of the Lincoln Aviator. And this kind of falls in line with what you were talking about before. Is it's got the twin turbo EcoBoost V6, mm-hmm. and it's got electric motor and a battery, and you can plug it in. And I don't know the exact range. I think you get something like 40 or something miles in all electric mode, but it's about switching between electric and gas engine to get you the best miles per gallon. Now, if you plug it in, it has a battery indicator to show you the charge of the battery. But if the battery's dead like it is right now as I'm driving it, because mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to plug it in, it still uses the electric motor, right? It's not – dead doesn't mean completely dead. It just means I can't drive in EV mode specifically. So when I'm sitting
in
traffic –
Can you charge a battery with braking?
You can. So and it has a little monitor and it shows me that you're like, oh, you just – you know, how efficient mm-hmm. is your braking? Mm-hmm. So when I'm sitting in traffic like I was this morning, I accelerate, the gas engine kicks in, I hit the brakes, I slow down, it says it's in electric mode, it shuts down the gas engine, and as I start to creep forward with traffic, it puts it in electric mode and actually does move it around. So it always has some charge to it. Mm-hmm. So with a completely dead battery, basically, and still using it, I'm getting like 19, 20 miles a gallon sitting in traffic. But when the battery's charged, it's significantly improved, and the total range combined is about 400 miles on a tank of fuel with a battery. You know,
and that's good.
Now, that all being said, it's a big, heavy, solid, luxurious vehicle. It's a three-row. It's basically, you know, whatever the size of a Ford Explorer.
Uh-huh.
And fantastic audio system.
Built on that platform.
Yeah, it's built on that platform.
Yeah. Everything works. Everything's good now.
And that's Lincoln's good. The leather's great. The infotainment system is great. The CarPlay seems to work. There's plugs and outlets and everything. Remote start. I hit the remote start. It senses the weather outside. I hit remote start and I left the air on. But when I got in, it had the heated steering wheel and the heated seats on for me because it was cold this morning. So it kind of knows in advance. One of the things I wanted to point out is a lot of people for a long time, we would have the base brand and the luxury brand, Honda and Acura, Toyota and Lexus, Ford and Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
And there was, you know, you'd get like a little bit nicer interior and some badging and stuff like that. Lincoln is doing a pretty good job of separating the two more mm-hmm. and more. Mm-hmm. I like the Ford Explorer, but the Ford Explorer has a McPherson strut front suspension. The Lincoln has an SLA front suspension, has a short long arm. So mm-hmm. they are doing more. They're right. starting with a platform.
It's more than stitching
and
the headrest.
Yeah, they're just really trying to up their game and make this more of a luxury brand. You can spend $95,000 on a fully loaded, you know, a Lincoln Aviator Grand Touring, you know, maybe $96,000. So that's not inexpensive.
Right.
You know,
right.
You couldn't get away with anything like that with the Ford brand, really, you know, other than something like a GT500. But it's fantastic. You know, it's really nice.
It's a good time to be around if you want a big screen TV or a car mm-hmm. that works and has air conditioning. It's a good consumer time.
Like
there used to be a big deal when I was younger. It's like, hey, you can't have that. Can't afford that. Don't get that. You know, you don't get a big screen TV.
Yeah.
You don't get a car with air conditioning. Like, you don't get a lot of stuff. Now there's a lot of stuff and a lot of technology, and the technology doesn't really have moving parts. And anything that doesn't have moving parts, you know, like a Rolex watch is always going to be expensive because it's got moving parts mm-hmm. in it. You take a bottom of the barrel, stripped down $18,000 Ford Fiesta, and it has five times the technology that Aston Martin that's parked 50 feet from where we're sitting has.
Yeah.
And that thing was $165,000.
Yeah.
Like, And you'd be much happier with the technology in that Fiesta.
You've said it 100 times. You think about how you spend your life. Get yourself the best bed you can, the best TV you can, and the best car you can. And sitting in traffic in this car, sure, you can get the BMW X5 M, but this thing is roughly 500 horsepower and over 600 pound-feet of torque, so it's not slow. But I was sitting in traffic with 30-way adjustable seats, massaging seats, heated and cooled, heated steering wheel, and like 8 speakers in the headliner. Like, it was just fantastic. And the whole time I'm sending messages on CarPlay, you know, sending voice text messages the whole time back and forth, and as it's massaging my butt the whole time.
Hey, breaking news! Max Pata thinks it was a Lola that Morton drove over. Update your screen, please, Max Pata.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have the entry list here for that particular race.
Oh, there's a better shot of the car after everyone spun off when John was going upside down. There's a better shot of the car.
Yeah. Oh, you could see, maybe look at the back.
That's a Jeanetta.
It looks, there's something about the side scoop
trying
too.
Trying to figure out the number of the car, Max Zapata.
Ooh, 25.
I can't see. I can't read it good enough. Number 25.
25? Pretty interesting.
Lola's an interesting choice. I'm still sticking by my Jeanetta.
Yeah, the Porsche just drove by because that one was a slow Porsche.
All right.
And John Morton's always at the front of the pack, right? So.
Oh, I mean, John Morton was driving that car at Road Atlanta, and he was just hauling ass in that thing. And he threw a rod and dropped a bunch of oil right at the end of a really long straightaway. Yeah. And some poor guy in his 510 who just finished it. Just hit that oil and just
Is the MIDI?
It's March, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's in March. It's a fun event. It's kind of hard to get to, but it's a good event. So Corvette car of the year?
Yeah, Motor Trend just had their Motor Trend of the Year awards, and the new C8 Corvette is the car of the year, which certainly makes sense. It's a huge leap forward. And I believe car of the year, by the way, SUV, truck of the year, has to be a new model. It can't be something existing, right? So it couldn't be the Mustang or something like that.
It couldn't be the old Corvette.
No. And it couldn't be, you know, I don't know, like
the
say
car of the year
like,
has to be a new.
It has to be a new for this year or whatever, the new for a new model.
So yeah. A Corvette has been around for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is called a Corvette,
mm-hmm.
but is it new because they moved the engine?
No, because it's the new model. It's the C8 Corvette. Like, you know, obviously
BMW doesn't come up with an M3 every year.
Right.
So Motor Trend Car of the Year would be they made the E30 M3 from 88 to 90 or 88 and 89 or something. And then they basically took off 10 years. They went to like 94 or something and made the E36. So that car could be eligible for, but then not the next year of that car.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know what the list was of competitors. I assume like the new Porsche 911, it is a new model 911.
Mm.
That was probably one of the contenders. Probably the Toyota Supra, that's brand new. So that was probably one of the contenders as well. Again, I couldn't say for sure. I'm just speculating on what the potential new car of the year. Maybe 850? Maybe BMW 850? Yeah, that's...
Oh, wait, there's a new BMW 850? Oh, yeah, the four-door, right?
No, there's like a Grand Coupe, but there's a two-door.
Breaking bizarre car news. Chevron B8. Wow. Wait a minute. That thing looks so much like a goddamn Jeanetta.
It really does.
It's shaped like a wedge.
Yeah.
Find me a it's a Chevron B8. But man, find me a picture of a Jeanetta that looks exactly like
that
car.
I gotta think the shape of that car is probably why both John and the driver of that car are okay. I think it had to do with a little bit him just running over the nose of that thing. If that thing had a flatter face, it would just be a crumple zone crash, right? It would just be smashed into each other.
Thing was a, you know, a Mustang GT350,
yeah.
And it was just mashed into the front of each other, right?
It would just be, it would be crazy.
Right, but that car shaped like a door wedge,
yeah.
Shaped like a TR8.
Yeah, just running over.
Shape of things that come.
Yeah,
pretty wild. Wow. Anyway, it's a little scary or eerie or something, and he was kind of telling me he didn't really want to do it because the car was too expensive. BetOnline.ag, we got the NFL Weekly Pick'em Charity Contest, NFL and college football, plus NBA action. Visit BetOnline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code Podcast 1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups, week 12. God, where's the season going? It seems like I'm always waiting for it to start, and then we're at week 12. Carolina Saints, Cowboys at the Patriots. Oh, that's a good game. Green Bay at San Fran. Ooh, good game. Seahawks at Eagles. Another good game. Ravens, Rams. Oh, come on, Rams. My lock is New England over Dallas this week. Got $500 in rewards to give out each week to five listeners and $5,000 in a season-long charity contest. Join the conversation at Twitter, hashtag SportsNetChallenge, and use the promo code PODCAST1. Received a 50% sign-up bonus, betonline.ag. It's funny because Chevron, I've seen a lot of those fast Chevrons out there, but they look a little different. They're usually open cockpit cars, which would have not been good.
Yeah, that would have been a
situation.
That would have been a bad day for sure. It looked like he might have spun around and then he was facing oncoming traffic.
Right.
But how is that? Do you think he was at front of the pack or you think he was like back of the pack and getting lapped? Because you got to assume John Morton was somewhere near the front of the pack. I mean, I could have been lap one, but who knows? But he's probably qualified pretty high up, front of the pack. Maybe that car was front of the pack.
Those cars can be fast. John can be fast. There also can be in there with a lot of fast cars, too. So John doesn't necessarily need to be in the front of the pack if there's a bunch of like 935s and stuff in there. You know, there's a bunch of big stuff in there. So I don't know what run group he was in and how that is delineated. I know when he brings the car to Laguna Seca and he's in the fast guy run group, he's not running at the top 5 or 10. He's, you know, 12 or something.
Yeah, and we did see the 911, which clearly wasn't a 935. We did see one of the lower level ones. But anyway, just pretty interesting. Before I forget, how about we give a little update on Uppity?
Yes.
Everybody that pre-ordered Uppity, Nate's team is, they're having all the DVDs and Blu-rays made. Expect an email in the next week or two, and all of that stuff is going out very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So you will be getting that definitely before Christmas, maybe much earlier than that, probably in the next couple of weeks. So Uppity is on its way. And the 24-hour war, which everybody went out and saw Ford v. Ferrari, fantastic film. I went and saw it this weekend too. Loved it. I thought everybody did a great job. If you want to see the true story documentary that you did a few years ago, that's available now on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shelby doc. The Shelby doc is available at chassis.com right now.
Yeah, it's all out. It's all out there.
Three good documentaries.
And No Safe Spaces is out there at nosafespaces.com. Maybe come to a theater near you or at a theater near you.
Seem to like it.
Wow. Yeah. We're looking at the Chevron and the Jeanetta, and they both have like the same rear end with the weird scoop in it. The Chevron's got a little longer front nose.
Now, you say the Chevron might have been a roadster, but doesn't it look like the Cheetah? Is it a Cheetah that's like looks like that, but it's a roadster?
The Cheetah has a little bit of a cheetah in it.
Yeah.
They have a lot of the same DNA. They're both just like fiberglass bodied cars. The one I was kind of thinking of is the fast, super fast Chevrons that show up to Laguna Seca. They're weird cars. They have like 13-inch rims, and they're like a mid-engine, and they look like miniature Can-Am cars.
Mm-hmm.
They look like a scaled-down Can-Am car.
Yeah.
Remember, God, what's his name? Frank Keating was driving one with a BMW power plant in it.
It
was like super quick, but it kept overheating or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, what we're looking for, Max Zapata, is the... Yeah, was it Marino Franchini?
Marino Franchini, I think, was driving it. Maybe see what Marino...
It's about three years ago in a BMW-powered Chevron or whatever. But they look... So what they look like is they look like a McLaren Can-Am car down 20% scale-wise.
Yeah,
just like a little bit smaller. And instead of the big V8 in the back, they have something smaller, like a Cosworth or something. They got like a high winding like Cosworth in them, and they have like 13-inch or small but big slicks.
Yeah,
but like small
Real
diameter,
small
and they scoot around that track. Like mm-hmm. those guys, and they probably weigh 1,300 pounds or yeah. something. And they get around that track, man.
Well, with Marino driving especially.
Yeah, well, Marino driving, but all the guys who drive those cars are good
because
yeah. they're fast. And they get around that track. I swear to you, they are... They'll get around that track in like 122 or something. I swear I've had some of those guys in my run groups before. I'm trying to find a picture of it. Yeah, you're getting close. It's going to be an open car. And I go to the top and go to the right. That's kind of close to what it is. It's just it's
that's
got
a Chevron, right? It's got a Chevron open cockpit.
Yeah, it's got like a Can-Am look to it, but it's miniature.
Yeah, the mirrors always bug me. The weird, like the tent pole with the front with the one mirror. Just like I get it, you need it. It's functional, but it's just like. Somebody drove the car around the track and then did test laps. And then later when somebody was behind him, he's like, I could really use a mirror.
I feel the same way about a LaFerrari, bucko.
Yeah.
All right. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Reno's coming up soon, December 7th at the Virginia Street Brewhouse. And you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live stuff. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.